Suvas Perik Hey, Mishnah Aleph 5:1. We've already established that there is an Iker Ksuba, which is 200 zuz for a first marriage and 100 zuz for a subsequent marriage. Our Mishnah here wants to talk about adding or subtracting from that Iker Ksuba. So the first part of the Mishnah talks about what's called the Tosefes Ksuba, an addition to the Ksuba. And that's the question is, may one add to the standard amount? So another, instead of having 200, could give a wife 300 in her Ksuba. And the Mishnah says, yes, you may. And the reason why you might have thought otherwise is because by raising the standard, perhaps you might have thought then it'll make it difficult for other men to get married. They'll be embarrassed to get married because everyone else is getting married with a ksuba of 300. He only can afford 200, and so on, and therefore maybe fewer women would get married. And the whole point of the ksuba is to protect women and to ensure that they can get married and stay married. So if that process of allowing ksubas to be bigger would undermine more women from getting married, that would be potentially no good. But the halach is, and the Mishnah says, it's not a problem. Therefore, the Mishnah says inside, Afal pisha amru, even though they said there's a standard amount of the ikr ksuba, that a besula gova masayim, that a first-time marriage gets 200 zuz in her ksuba, va'almana mane, and an almana, a second-time marriage, literally a widow, she gets a mane, 100 zuz, imrata lahosef, if he, the husband, wants to add to that ikr ksuba, afilu mea mane, even if he wants to add an extra 100 mana, meaning 100 zuz, meaning 10,000 zuz, Yosef, he's allowed to do so. That would mean that he creates what's called Tosefes Ksuba, an extra part of the Ksuba, and that Tosefes Ksuba functions exactly like the Iker Ksuba, meaning it's part and parcel with the Ksuba, so it also becomes the amount that is a lien against his real assets, and so on. It's in every way treated like the normal Ksuba. Says the Mishnah, Nisarmala o Nisgarsha, Bain Mine Rusin, O Main Mine Nisuin. If she, the wife, the bride, then becomes a widow or divorcee, whether from Erusin, stage 1, legal marriage, Bain Mine Nisuin, or whether from Nisuin, stage 2, functional marriage, it's all the same, says the Tana here, Gova Esa Kol, she gets the full amount. So if her husband made the ksuba be for 10,000 zuz instead of for 200 zuz, she would get all 10,000 zuz, whether he was struck by lightning after Erisin or Nisuin, says the Tana Kama. But Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah disagrees, and he says, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, Minha Nisuin Gova Esa Kol. If she becomes a widow or divorcee after Nisuin, they've actually been married, she moved in with him, so then it's binding, and she collects the full, whatever it is, 10,000. Mine erusin. However, if she becomes a widow or a divorcee after the stage 1 erusin, then besula gova masayim valmana mana, then she gets the ikar ksuba, meaning a first-time marriage gets 200, and the second-time marriage gets 100, and not more than that. Why? Says Elizabeth Nazaria, shalo kasavla. He didn't write to her that extra Tosefes Ksuba, Ela Almanas Lachansa, he wrote it with the assumption, with the tacit understanding, that it was about her becoming his wife functionally and moving in with him. If she never actually moved in to live with him, so then he didn't mean to add beyond the Iker Ksuba. Now, this whole Mishnah is predicated on the assumption that already there's a Ksuba which is payable from the time of Erisin. You recall again, in the Mishnah period, there was, let's say, a whole year between the Erisin and the Nisuin. It's Machlokas Amorayim, if indeed there is any Ksuba payment after Erisin or only after Nisuin. And there's a Machlokas Rishonim on how we paskin him. The Rambam says, no, there's no Ksuba payment until Nisuin comes around. And that's the Shulchan Aruch paskins. The Rosh, like the Balei Tosfos, say, yes, there is already a Ksuba from the Erisin stage. The Rama says, he brings down that Shita, like the Rosh, but then he says anyways, the Minag in his time was like the Rambam, meaning that there's no Ksuba payment till after Nisuin. The whole thing kind of is sort of immaterial nowadays because the way we have our marriages, there's just a few minutes between the Erisin and the Nisuin, so it's kind of unlikely there'll be any nafkamina. But the bottom line is, lahalacha, notwithstanding that, there is no ksuba payment after after Erisin, if it would come out that way. But after Nisuin, yes, there is, and a person could be Mosef as much as he wants, and of course, then he has to pay the full amount after Nisuin. Now the Mishnah discusses the question of taking away and giving the woman less than the Iker Ksuba. So, already without even starting, the Mishnah is going to say, no, you can't do that. But the question is, if you want to do that, and if he and she both agree to do it, is there a workaround? Is it okay to somehow work around it? So the first opinion is going to be the lenient opinion. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im ratza, if they're in agreement, so then kosav lebasula shtar shel masayim, he'll have to write a ksuba to this first-time bride, like any other ksuba of a first-time bride, meaning the full 200. But then, if they've agreed that she's really going to do less than that, she'll agree to having, like, they say, listen, he says, I'm only going to marry you if the ksuba is 100. So then what they can do is, v'hi koseves, she will write in a separate document, like a receipt that she gives him, hiskabalti, and that's like kind of the code word here, hiskabalti, I've already received mimcha mana. I've already received from you 100 zuz. The point is, the ksuba says he will pay her 200. She then gives him a second piece of paper that says, I've already received 100. And a woman may receive her ksuba during her marriage if she wants and he gives it to her. So she's saying, I already got 100 of the 200. And she gives him a receipt for that. Even though it's not true, she actually never got the 100. But effectively now, if she's widowed, she'll come to collect 200, but the heirs or the, you know, will say, listen, we already have this, you've already gotten 100 based on this piece of paper we have, and therefore you're only getting 100 more. And that is allowed, says Rabbi Yehuda. So that's the hiskabalti mechanism that she got prepaid, if you will. And similarly, ula almana mane, in the case of a woman who's marrying for the second time, her ksuba will say 100, v'kosevis, but she will then write him a separate document which says, hiskabalti mimcha, chamishim zuz, I've already received from you 50 zuz, meaning there's just 50 zuz left. That is allowed, says Rabbi Yehuda the Makel. Now the reason why Rabbi Yehuda allows this is because, explains it to Pharisee Yisrael, the whole rationale of ksuba is to protect the woman so that she shouldn't be easily gotten rid of. If he just, you know, gets frustrated, he can just say, goodbye, get lost, and you're divorcing you. Because in the time of the Mishnah, again, women could be divorced bal korcham against their will, and that being the case, the ksuba was there to sort of, as a protection, to as a disincentive against him simply just, you know, getting rid of her because it's going to cost him a lot of money. Now, that's to protect her. And therefore, if she thinks it's in her interest to agree to a lesser amount, and she can say, listen, let's say the Basula says, listen, for a widow, 100 is a good enough disincentive to get thrown out. So for me, 100 is also okay, even though it's a first-time marriage. I'll accept just 100. And therefore, she does this hiskabalti trick. So then, she's within her rights to do so. And we don't stop her. Of course, it then would follow that if she would say, I've received all of my ksuba ahead of time, so meaning he has no ksuba, he just, you know, he gives her a ksuba for 200, but then she gives him right back a receipt that says, and I got paid out already, so then that would not be effective, because then there's nothing that's stopping him, and that would undermine the whole takana, the whole establishment of the ksuba. Now, that's Rabbi Yehuda Shita, he's the Makel. Rabbi Meir is the Machmer. Rabbi Meir says nothing doing. Rabbi Meir says, Rabbi Meir Omer, kol hapoches lebesulam amasayim, anyone who even tries to finagle a way in which the basula is getting less than 200 zuz, v'ula almana mane, or for a second marriage, 100 zuz, hareze bi'ilas zunus, they have no business being married, it's as if they're not married at all. When he sleeps with her, it's as if he's sleeping with an unmarried woman. And the reason why is because, according to Meir, actually, it's the idea of a ksuba, at least for a basula, a first-time woman, is a d'oraisa issue, and that's a protection, even if it's midirabanan, for like a second-time marriage, but it's there for a reason, and those Iker Ksuba numbers of 200, 100 are fixed, and there's no taking away from them. And anything less than that is unacceptable. Moreover, this is Reb Meir L'Shita So, according to his opinion, which is a woman has to always have her Ksuba in full force, so much so that if, let's say, she lost her Ksuba, she doesn't know where it is, so then they can't stay married. And that's the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, the Shulchan Aruch Paskin like Reb Meir, that a woman can't continue to live with her husband if she doesn't know where her ksuba is. Let's say it got burned or lost or stolen, she has to immediately get a new ksuba before they can be back together. According to one sheet of the Shulchan Aruch brings, they can't even have yichud anymore. So she must have the full force of the ksuba protecting her at all times, for them to stay married, and that then is the halacha like this, meaning that there's no such thing as hiskabalti, there's no such legal mechanism, halacha, of a woman accepting less than 200 zuz for herself, if it's a first marriage, or 100 zuz in the case of a second marriage.